Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you for the opportunity to come and speak this evening. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. I'd just like to read a part of it. Matthew chapter 6. We'll start reading at verse 25. This is the Lord in His Sermon on the Mount. So this is Jesus speaking, and starting at verse 25, it says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, for they grow, how they grow, how they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to come and look at it this evening. We pray that you give me the words to say and wisdom, and that if there's anything you don't want me to say, that you'd take it from my mind. And just thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen. So this evening, I'd like to talk about being dependent on the Lord. This is something that lately I think the Lord's really been trying to teach me. Right before me and Kaylee got married, we did marriage counseling with Mr. Jeff and Miss Jan. And one of the things they told us is God's goal for marriage is to draw us closer to himself through it. That through our marriage that God would bring us closer to himself. And being married, we've been married almost 7 months at this point. Or is it eight? Almost 8 months. And it's becoming more and more evident that how he does it. Being married has made all my flaws a lot more evident. And then this isn't saying Kaylee just sits there and points them out, but it's just through life the Lord points them out to me. And one of my bigger flaws, I think, is being independent and trying to do everything myself, trying to provide everything myself, and not relying on the Lord to provide. One example of this is, as a lot of y'all know, we're renting Miss Beverly's house, and it's part of a farm. And so we're doing a rent to own, and the power was combined with the power on the farm. And so we needed to get a meter put on the house. And so we called Duke Power. They sent out an engineer. He looked at it. And then they sent out a tech to put a meter on the house. There was already a box on the side. All they had to do was put a meter on it, and our power would be separate from the farm. Well, they sent out a technician, and he came out, and he looked at it. And I talked to him, told him everything, went back inside. And within 5 minutes, he was pulling out the driveway. And I walked inside, and Kaylee's like, "We don't have any power." And I was like, "What do you mean we don't have any power?" It's like, he just left. He should have hooked it up. And so I went around, and power was off. I called Duke Power, And they said, well, the switch in your box was rusted, so we couldn't do anything. You're going to have to replace the box before we could turn your power back on. And at that point, I was starting to get a little nervous because I didn't know how long that would be. So we had a friend of ours that goes to Mebane, Mr. Don. I called him, and he's asked him about it. And he's like, well, it'd be 2 weeks before we could get the box. And so then I was really stressing. I called Dad, and I might have texted Mr. Dave. I can't remember. And I was really stressing. And then I can't remember if it was Kaylee or Mom. I was like, well, we'll be praying for you that you can get it worked out. And I was like, that'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? So I prayed about it, and within an hour, the Duke Power sent the tech back out, and he sprayed some WD-40 on the switch and got it to move, and he turned our power back on. So it was very bad on my part that it took that long, a few hours, for me to even think about praying for it, about it. But it made it very evident that I wasn't trusting in the Lord and relying on Him to provide. And so as we read here in Matthew chapter 6, we see the Lord has told us to rely on Him. We see He says to rely on Him for food and for garment, and not to worry about tomorrow. And if we look at Matthew 6 and verse 9, this is the Lord, and He's teaching them how to pray. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so this is the Lord teaching us to pray. And we see He tells us to acknowledge that we can't provide for ourselves. We see in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then verse 13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so we can see the Lord is telling us that when we pray, we should be relying on the Lord and admitting that the Lord provides all these things. And it's nothing of our own, but that we should be trusting in the Lord and relying on Him. As we know, as Christians, we're already relying on Him for forgiveness, because we're sinners and He sent His Son to die for us. So we already rely on Him for that. How can we not? We should be relying on Him for everything else as well. And so I was thinking of the greatest example we have of relying on the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 19. Says, Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And then if you look down to verse 30, it says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And then there's one more in John chapter 8, and verse 28 says, Then Jesus said unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And so you see the Lord Jesus Christ says He does nothing of His own self. And we know He was the Son of God. It wasn't that He couldn't, but He relied on the Father, and He did only what the Father told him to do, and he relied on him and did it of his own, of through the Father. And so with Jesus as our example, he lived his whole life relying on the Father and trusting in him. And a lot of times in my mind, I always think of Jesus and I was like, he's the Son of God. It was easy for him. But it wasn't easy for him. He still had a human body. He still had all the desires and everything that comes with having a human body, all the desires, all the pressures, the stress. He had all that, if not more than we have. In Hebrews chapter 4, it talks about how he was, talks about that a little. In Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 14, it says, "Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." And then Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 16. Hebrews 2 and verse 16, it says, "For verily he took not on himself, on him, the nature of angels, but took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And so we can see the Lord Jesus Christ, he was tempted, and he went through everything we do as humans. And he did it all dependent on the Father. And so if the Lord Jesus Christ did it, it is possible for us to live our lives dependent on the Father. It wasn't easier for him, but he still did it. And so how did he do it? If you look at Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, it says, Mark 1, 35, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." And then in Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." And then another one in Luke 9 and verse 18, it says, "And it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, Whom say ye, whom say the people that I am?" And then in verse 28, "And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and James, Peter, John, and James, and went up into a mountain to pray." And so we can see the Lord Jesus Christ on a regular occurrence. He would go out away from the world and by himself, and he would pray. And not for any short amount of time. These weren't small prayers. As we saw in the first one, he got up a good while before it was day. And then in Luke 6:12, it says he prayed all night. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he lived a life dependent on the Father, but how would he know the Father's will, and how would he trust the Father if he didn't spend time with him in prayer to know his will and to know him better? And so we see that it was a regular occurrence in his life, probably daily. It seems like he did it really fairly often. And we also see in Luke 22, Luke 22, it talks about, In verse 39, it says, "And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed." And then if you look at 41, it says, "And when he was withdrawn from them, a stone's cast, he kneeled down and prayed." So we see it, it seemed to be a normal habit for him to go out and separate himself from the distractions and to pray. And so we, like the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be doing the same. We should be separating ourselves from the world and spending time with the Lord in prayer and reading His Word, so we can know His plan and we can rely on Him and trust Him, and we can know Him better. In John chapter 15 and verse 5, this is the Lord Jesus speaking. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." And this is the Lord, he's talking to Christians, and as a Christian, without him we can do nothing of our own strength. We can't bring forth any fruit apart from the Lord Jesus Christ and through our own strength, but only through him. And as we saw in Matthew 6, when we pray, we are to pray to the Lord, realizing that we can't do things through our own strength, that we can't provide the food ourselves, but ultimately it's from him. We are to pray for deliverance from temptation and from sin. And the only way we can do that is through the Lord. If we look at Jude, verse 17. Jude verse 17 says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, and having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for mercy, for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, unto eternal life." And so we can see, he's telling them that the disciples told him there will be people that are walking after their own lust. But he says to build up yourselves in the most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. And so we are to pray to the Lord, realizing we can't save ourselves from our own lust. Only through the Lord can we have deliverance from sin in our daily lives. In Ephesians chapter 6, another familiar passage talking about the armor of God. We all know the armor of God well, but in the very end of the description, Ephesians 6 and verse 18. So we go through the whole armor of God, but at the very end, the last part of 17, it says, or we'll just read 17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." And so we can see that he's laying out how to fight against the powers of darkness and the devil. And he says, the last thing he says is praying always with all prayer and supplication. So we have to realize that we can't do it through our own power. We can't live the Christian life through our own selves. We have a sinful nature, and the only way to defeat that is through prayer and through the Lord. And we have to rely on Him for that. But we can rely on Him for everything. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, "Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you." And so as Christians, we should pray about everything, no matter how small. Just like with our power, I should have prayed first, but I didn't. And through that, the Lord taught me that He cares about us, and He is there to provide for us. And we can also rely on Him to direct us. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths." So we can trust in the Lord and rely on Him to guide us through life, and to live a life for Him. But just like the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no easy way to the Christian life. It takes discipline, and it takes taking time away from the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, He took time even when it didn't seem like it was hard for Him. If you look back at Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 1, we read the verse where it said He got up a good while before day, but if you look at the previous, if you look at the context, it says starting at verse 32, it says that even when the sun did set, they brought unto Him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door, and He healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew Him not. And so it says the whole city was there. Verse 32 or verse 33, and all the city was to get gathered together at the door, and He was healing them. So we have no idea how long that took or how late He was up. But then if you look at 35, the next thing He did, it says, and in the morning, rising a great while before the day. So it wasn't easy. It wasn't convenient for Him. But He took the time to go and to spend with the Lord in prayer. And in Luke 6:12, we read, He prayed all night. So He didn't do it when it was convenient for Him. A lot of times in my life, I wake up late, so I don't have time to read my Bible. I might listen to it on the way to work, but I don't take the time to separate myself where I can think and I can pray and it can be just me and the Lord. And we see the Lord Jesus Christ set an example that no matter what, He took the time to pray and to be with the Father. And so that through that, He was able to rely on Him and live a life dependent on Him. And another thing I was thinking about is just because the Lord Jesus Christ prayed didn't mean things immediately got better. I know with the power example, I was kind of one of those, you pray and everything's great. But just because we pray, everything doesn't immediately get better. It's still, we have to trust the Lord. If you look back at Luke 22, we know the Lord prayed, but things weren't great right after that. He still had to trust the Lord and His plan. In Luke 22, and starting at verse 40, it says, "And when He was at the place, He said unto them, Pray that you enter not into temptation. And when He was withdrawn from them, a stone's cast, He kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Thine be done." And so He prayed, but it didn't immediately get better. We know He was taken, and He was given a joke of a trial. He was convicted. He was beaten. He was crucified. And He, worst of all, God laid our sins on Him. And so He prayed, but the Lord's will was still done. And in the end, it worked. We all got salvation through it. And in the end, it worked out for good. And so as Christians, we shouldn't expect just because we pray about it for everything to be great and for the Lord's will to go well. But we know that He will provide for us. And as Christians, we should expect things to go, to not go our way. In John chapter 15, the Lord tells us that there will be persecution. In John 15, in verse 18, it says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated Me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, Therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. So we can see that life won't be easy, but we can still trust in the Lord and trust in His plan, and that He will work it out for good, and that we can rely on Him, and through Him we can live a Christ-honoring life, and we can trust in Him for everything. And in closing, I'd like to, I was thinking of Daniel in Daniel chapter 6, and what a great example he is to all of us. You don't have to turn there, but just thinking about how the law was to not pray to anybody but the king, but Daniel didn't let that stop him. He immediately, as soon as he heard it, he went and he kneeled down and he prayed. And he trusted in the Lord. We saw that he was thrown in a den of lions, but the Lord still protected him and cared for him. And through it all, the Lord was glorified. And so as Christians, let us trust in the Lord and depend on Him for everything, and to spend time with Him and to pray, so that through that we can trust Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this passage. We pray that You would help us to rely on You more and trust You more. We know that You are worthy of our trust, so we just pray that we would find time to spend with You. And we thank You most of all for the Lord Jesus and His death on the cross, paying for our sins. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.